And joining us now in the KYMN studios is Northfield's Fire Chief, Northfield Area Fire and Rescue Fire Chief, Tom Nelson. Good morning, Tom. Good
morning, Jeff. And we had Rich join us in the sidekick chair because it's always good to have Rich with us.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, I just want you to know, I always like to make sure you know that I listened at some point between 6:30 and 7.
Yeah.
And so it's always nice to get forward promoted in a radio term.
Sure.
And the fact that it's Holy Week, sure, and yep. Slow News Week and everything, and I thought, you know, what a cross I must bear today.
Wow. Look at you.
To try to give you a gem of some type of nugget of news for the week.
I'm counting on you, Mr. Yeah. Nelson.
And so he gives us a list. He brought in a list of things to talk about, and the first thing on the list is a PBJ meeting. Like peanut butter and jelly meeting, what's going on here?
It's government at its best. Your tax dollars at work.
It's a JPB, PBJ Joint Powers Board.
Yeah, so as we've talked before, the Northfield Area Fire Rescue is made up of City of Northfield, City of Dundas, and the rural townships. And so the Joint Powers Board of that group has members from each of those organizations, and that's who is the board that runs the fire department. We had our meeting a week ago today, and just some highlights of that. We had conversations, and there was approval of the fire chief's compensation for 2024. So for I think folks were happy with the job that the fire chief has been doing, and so that went into effect.
Are we giving the fire chief a raise? Because I'd like to keep him around.
Yes, it did
good.
Go the right direction,
that's
and
good.
It's always good when you can do that. So, no, I love the job, and I feel like I'm making a difference, and I feel like folks, both on the board and firefighters and most members of the community are happy with what we're doing. So.
What about the fire chief's promotional board, which is kind of Rich and I.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. We got that. You know, you have to have goals, and there's always weak areas.
But there, let's move on with some serious talk, because I want to talk about the taxing district. That has been talked about for quite some time. You're almost, 10 years now into NAFRS?
NAFRS started in 2014.
Yeah, so we're 10 years into it. We don't have a taxing district yet, but that has been, you spent a lot of time really analyzing, are you and the board, a lot of time analyzing, is this a good thing? Do we need to do it or not?
Perfect, yes.
Where are you at?
So one of the things that came out of 2023 was a white paper that was put together by an ad hoc group of the board members that basically said, here are some concerns that, you know, what's the problem we're trying to solve? Mm-hmm. And what came out of that was, okay, can we solve any or some of those issues by keeping the same Joint Powers Board organization? Or do we need to go to a taxing district to be able to solve some of those? So there's like a handful of items. A good example, and it's one that we took care of, at least a preliminary, was the townships have to decide their levy in March of the year.
Right.
And so that's always been an issue for if the NAFRS budget isn't finalized until July, to then potentially go back with surprises to the townships. So one of the things in looking at, do we need to change the organization layout to make that kind of a thing? I said, why don't I just take a shot at when we close 23 and we know that we have a budget for 24, what would 25 look like? And to be able, we know what our capital equipment, because we have a capital equipment plan that goes out 20 years. We're able to say, and then each year you get a little more hardened on what, you know, solidifying those prices for some of that heavy equipment. We were able to go through and say, all right, here's what we're looking for 2025. There'll be this capital equipment payout. There'll be this future payout. To be able to give the township, here's what you can sort of kind of plus or minus expect out of NAFRS. So that was one of those things that was like, okay, well, we can get that information and we don't need to change the organization to be able to get that piece. So there, like I said, there are about three or four items that we want to look at. And some of those things will be, it may be, oh, we can solve that, but we need to tweak the Joint Powers Agreement. One of the things that's been a big change is when NAFRS was started, it was very much a working board, mm-hmm. because there was, we had to collectively everyone do anything because there was no full-time staff. Some of the things now we're looking at is, oh, well, the budget used to be officially prepared by the board. Well, the budget is now prepared by the fire chief, fire code official. So some of those things we can tweak around, and this is probably the time to do it. So more of that, we'll be working on that yet the first part of 24, and addressing some of these things to say, okay, do we need to do a taxing district? Do we need to reorg the existing Joint Powers Board?
So,
I was going to say, when you look back at previous years, you've kind of had to make that type of guess before, even though not officially. Is it fairly accurate? Can you do a fairly accurate job of predicting what you're going to have a year and a half, a year plus in advance?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at what expenses are, it's like, you know, like basically any other small business of, you've got your salaries and you have equipment costs and you have operational costs. And then we have, in our case, the facility, and it's now, that was 2018. So things are getting a little older. But some of the things that I've been charged with doing, and a good portion of my days, are following up on nuisance alarms and nuisance calls to try to make it that the fire department doesn't get called out when it's not needed. And we've been able to benefit from that in a significant savings over 2022 by doing some of those things. And the other piece is, there's a revenue line now because we're doing inspections and permitting, that not only is it making us safer, but it also is a revenue stream that tries to help cover some of the cost of that program. So we've got 2022 under our belts, the full year of 2023 with the full-time chief. So we've really got the data to be able to show what our run rate is. And capital equipment is basically that one outlier and some of those things, like we're doing with this fire truck that's going to be coming in 25, we're paying basically half of it in 24 and the other half in 25 because it takes so long to make. But that also kind of levels your CapEx output, you know, payouts, because you're not doing $1 million here and nothing next year or...
Right. So my understanding has always been with the taxing district concept is that the budgeting for townships has been the driving force behind it.
It's been one of the reasons, yeah.
Is there anything else that would really trigger the need to go to a taxing district?
Yes, some of the things are like a joint powers board cannot bond, apparently.
Yep.
And we have, let's say, the fire station was bonded through one of the members, the city of Northfield. Mm-hmm. And that's a way to be able to do it that way. So, you know, some of the things that are brought up are, oh, well, how can we buy that piece of equipment if we can't bond? And it's like, well, like no different than going on vacation. You can either save the money and then spend the money on vacation, or you just put it on the credit card and pay it over time. I think what we'll end up doing is a combination of that is we'll move forward and say, you know, let's say 2026, there's not anything called out for the capital equipment payouts. Let's take a half a million and put that in the mattress, so to speak, to build up a fund as you pay out. So again, no different than basic, let's do some savings, let's time our spending. So yeah, a lot of that.
Do you guys have a timetable to make a final decision on what you're going to do?
Well, there are certain drop dead dates, like July 1, if we are going to go to a taxing district in year 2020X, that previous July is a point where there's a lot of paperwork that has to be filed, and then at what point does the taxing district start getting their own tax money? How do you bridge that final year? So there's a lot of time, date things that have to get figured out. I personally don't see that this is something that's going to get voted on and kicked off this July for 2025. But we're going through all those processes.
All right. You evidently have joined something called the Lilac Union.
Lilac Union.
What, yes. What is the Lilac
I like Union? Lilacs. How do I join that?
See, I told Jeff on the way
is
in.
Is that kind of like the Lullaby League?
I like to hand out a little bit of information in front of him and just see if he even reads it.
Just to make him dangerous.
Yes. It's like, what does that mean?
I'm trying to read your notes here.
It's like writing that thing in the paper and you're like, I bet you're not even reading this.
Right.
And to see if they really do read it. So, yeah, we've got a lot of development going on in Northfield and Dundas and soon to be out in the rural township in Bridgewater. We've got Tractor Supply. Those of you that have been driving south on Highway 3 see that. I was out there with Gary, the Dundas building official, and their project team on Tuesday. The inside of the building's basically done. And they are looking for a temporary certificate of occupancy to be able to start loading in racks and equipment and then stocking. It's nice to see that kind of development. And then the housing development that is going on and getting close mm-hmm. to being finaled is behind Young's Paint Center, where we all know that is in Dundas, mm-hmm. just south of City Hall. Is the West Avenue Apartments. That is a really nice, large facility. And this one, as well as Craywood Flats by Greenvale School, are sheetrocks in. They're painted. They're working on flooring. From my perspective and a life safety perspective, I'm really excited because both of those apartment buildings are fully sprinklered, fully fire alarmed. And those are great housing opportunities for folks. So those will be really nice to get online. It hopefully will make a little dent in our housing that right. we need in town. It's nice to see those getting close.
Good to hear it.
The other thing that's going to be happening, there's work happening on both campuses. Mm-hmm. And Lilac Union is the Lilac Hill area of Carleton. And then the Union Street between 1st and 2nd Street. The Carleton has added townhomes, and those are going to be student housing. And again, those are all those are super efficient, low energy use, solar on the roof, part of their geothermal system yep. connected all up. And those are going to be nice student housing. And what's nice is some of the, you know, both at St. Olaf and Carleton over the past 5 years have replaced aging single-family homes that they had purchased and had students living in. And St. Olaf has townhomes going up St. Olaf Avenue, and Carleton has more and more of these along their properties. And those are great. And again, fully sprinklered, fire alarm, very, very safe and green.
You know, I've lived here for 36 years now.
Oh, just moved to town, did you?
Yeah, not a townie yet, but I've never heard anyone reference Lilac Hill.
Well, I didn't know it was Lilac. That's always like Three Oaks, right? That's mm-hmm. for those of us that have been around a while and Arbstock and things like that. That was Three Oaks Hill until one of the Oaks left and it was Two Oaks. I didn't know that was Lilac Hill either, but that's the same. The area is kind of just east of the Carleton Dam under Highway 19. So you go past that between the Arb and the Lyman Lakes, and you look up to the right, you'll see the townhomes blended into there. So, yeah, those are going to be nice.
Arbstock. I haven't heard anyone talk about Arbstock.
The good old days.
I have great memories of not going to Arbstock and wishing I could.
Oh, man. I remember working for Fred Heil and we going to Arbstock and loaded up, and it was raining, and loading up people into the ambulance and then just having to hose it down.
Yeah. Let's move on. What else do we have going on? We got about 3 minutes left.
I swear, you just go on.
You know what?
You gas on with sports before you say 7:20, and we start at 7:25. And so, anyway, I don't want to burn my time. Anyway, we've got training opportunities. A couple of things we've changed up. We're doing some optional Saturday, like 6-hour training sessions at the fire station. And that gives folks, and they're optional, but we've done one where we set up the pumpers and we have external people come in, trainers, and we just talk about running the pump, doing hose lay operations. And what's super nice is it's like, well, you don't have to commit. you know, everyone's like, well, I'm not sure what I'm doing on Saturday. And then Saturday comes and you got 15 people. So it's not required. But these are those kind of stretch opportunities. It's hard when we do training for 2 hours on Monday nights. It's like going to shop class. Right when you get into it, then it's time to start cleaning up. So we're doing that. And then one of the things that's really hard training-wise, and I guess it's a good thing, is that we don't have that many structure fires compared to when I was first on the department. And that's great, right? That means we're not, Jeff Machick would say, well, we already burned down all the barns back in the 70s and 80s. But seriously, the hard part then is if you don't have fires to go to, you're not learning.
Does that mean all your structure fires are in my neighborhood?
Well, yeah, we're doing some trending with the fire marshal.
I guess so. Anyway.
a problem up there.
Okay, you done with that? Because we only have a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to talk about Vest Fest.
Okay, yes,
as
let's
well.
Go on.
So,
yes.
Finish what you were saying, then let's get into Vest Fest.
Perfect. I think I'm going to be done. So,
okay.
We talked off air beforehand, is that we're all still, both the public and responders, are still trying to get a grip at what happened up in Burnsville. And, you know, some of those things, especially on the fire side, has been just unheard of. And I got a call about a week ago from Galen Malika, and he said that a combination of groups, the Defeated Jesse James Days Committee, the VFW and the VFW Auxiliary, are wanting to do something. We had a meeting yesterday afternoon with Brian Edwards from the ambulance and all those folks to talk about a fundraiser. And the fundraiser is going to be called Vest Fest. It is on May, and Galen is going to get so mad. I think it's May 18th, but we'll be talking more about it. To be able to have, get body armor that we can have both in the ambulance rigs and in fire rigs for those you never hope happen situations. And there'll be a fundraiser. There's going to be stuff outside the Vets Club. They're going to be selling food. The auxiliary is going to donate any of the proceeds that they get from that. We'll have the fire trucks down there, ambulances down there, and just a way for members of the community to donate to this fund for something that we haven't budgeted for and could really make a difference.
Fantastic.
Those things you hate to even have to think about, but the last thing you want to do is not be prepared. So I really appreciate, I mean, we all know folks on the committee that they're the folks that we see all the time, and the folks at the VFW have been behind the rescue squad for many, many decades. So more to come on that.
Yeah, and absolutely, we have an open door here. So whenever you get that organized, send one of the organizers in, and we'd be glad to talk.
100%.
Yes, Galen will fill the time.
Okay, all right. Tom, thanks a lot for coming.
It's really a pleasure to see you guys again, and we'll see you in a month.